Hello, Cancer, and welcome to your 2014-2015 birthday reading. My name is Eric Francis, the astrologer who will be guiding you through this absolutely awesome astrology that you have got coming up, and the astrologer who is here to tell you that basically this whole thing that you've been through the past 6 to 8 months is basically done, and now you may move on to other challenges. But the challenges that you have experienced are pretty much wrapped up. I say pretty much only because, you know, I'm beginning this recording on the day before Mercury stations direct and Mars is still in Libra. Before I get into all that and the new exciting astrology for 14-15, I want to just go over some basic organizational things. I'm going to record this in three stages. Two readings devoted to astrology. We sell those as being about half an hour, so people don't think they're too long. Usually, I run longer than half an hour, so there'll be two sections that will cover the astrology, and then I generally take a pause, sometimes overnight, sometimes a few hours, and do what I call astrology afterthoughts, and then do a tarot reading. Tarot has the benefit of giving the ability to cross-check and use a whole different method of reading, which provides, at least from the standpoint of an esoteric or oracular source, a different point of view. And so it's it brings up different information and can provide some confirmation for what's come out of the astrology. Also, I would remind you that last year's reading is included with this package that you've got here. So if you have a little bit of extra time, you can check in with last year's recording and see what I had to say and see the ways in which things apply to you and maybe get additional information, but also learn something about how to work with this astrology so that it means more in advance and is worth as much as it can be to you. I think that the real benefit of astrology is giving us not so much the ability to predict, but the ability to have some foresight, to be able to see the conditions as they are developing. And as is the case with the reading I'm about to do for you, it can be very helpful to see what has happened in the immediate past and put it into context. Much of what has happened also includes things that are happening. You know, for example, the Uranus-Pluto square is still very prominent in your chart, though it's going to take on a series of differing forms than it has, particularly the past 8 months. And these outer planet transits can have a very long-term effect. They start to act like natal chart placements after a couple of years. After you've dealt with, experienced, or lived with an outer planet transit for a while, it starts to feel like it's just a permanent fixture in your chart. The thing is that no matter how amazing that transit may be, it's not, and no matter how difficult that transit may be, it's not. And as in the case of Pluto, probably the single most important transit that you're having in the long run, because it is in your opposite sign between 2008 and 2024, the kind of thing that may be very difficult at first, and then as you start to get used to it, you start to miss it when it's over, basically. So that's why I take an approach to outer planet transits that's really about taking the maximum advantage of them while you have them to take advantage of, and also taking the most positive possible outlook on them. And that includes on the recognition of the challenges that they're offering. But let's recap. I think that is crucial, because so much of what has happened the past year, all of the retrogrades, for example, and all of the outer planet transits have been so distinctly focused on your sign. If you recall, In the spring, we experienced the thing, this grand cross, grand trine, with all the cardinal signs having planets in them. Your sign is a cardinal sign, and all of the water signs having planets in them. Your sign is a water sign. The only sign that is both a cardinal sign and a water sign is the sign Cancer. And that means that both the Grand Cross and the Grand Trine were focused on your sign. That means on you. Thank God Jupiter was the planet that was involved. It gave you a lot of substance to be able to absorb the various impacts, to be able to pay the various bills, to be able to have resources to supply when that time came, resources if you were getting depleted. And by the way, we're going to get into this whole business of resources. Over the past year, I would say that the, and again, especially going back to December, it's, time is flying, the very thing that is supposed to be the most important to the sign Cancer, that being security, grounding, one sense of stability, all of that was the very thing that was the most challenged, and I was going to say outrageously challenged, and I will stick to that. This has been somewhat of an outrageous challenge, and you might have just wondered how the holy heck you got yourself into this, and may have wondered many times how you were going to get out of it, and the reality is that you have made it through to the other side of something rather enormous. The biggest challenge to your security base is illustrated by the fact that Mars was retrograde in Libra. Mars entered Libra in December. Mars is about to leave Libra on July 25th. So as of this recording, and as of most likely you're listening, it's still in Libra, but more or less done making major aspects. And now it's just sort of like cruising along and about to enter Scorpio, where we'll all, I think, be very happy that it arrives, especially you, water sign. And Libra for you is your house of grounding and security. It's your fourth whole sign house, your fourth place from your sun, or if you're Cancer rising, your ascendant. And that is a delicate balance, for as much as Libra is a sign of, it's one of the strongest signs. It's a cardinal sign. And associated with strong creative initiative, it's also very delicately balanced. And you have this combination of strength and delicacy or fragileness, what's the word, on your fourth house. And so while you are resilient and while you're strong and while you are able to make a life for yourself, you always live with that feeling that that life is delicately balanced, that there is no real assurance. And so when we combine the need for, the desire for stability and having this kind of strong home around us with the fact that that home is illustrated by the sign Libra, we get an image of there's a bit of a contradiction. There's also a necessary walking very gently on the world. It's almost as if you have to take confident steps, but also balance with every step. It's a little like walking a high wire in a way, because that not that I've ever been up there, walking between two skyscrapers or across Niagara Falls, like that awesome crazy guy who does that, but it seems necessary to take steps that are both confident and careful. And that, in many ways, is the story of your life. then comes Mars. Mars comes tearing through there and stations retrograde. Well, it comes tearing through there and it starts to make aspects right away. The first being when the sun was in your opposite sign back in January, maybe the last week of December. Mars comes through Capricorn and makes aspects to Uranus and Pluto, the sun and Jupiter, all involving your sign, and then works its way forward. And on March 1st, it stations retrograde, and then it does the whole thing in reverse. This has been hard on many people. There are some people who will be traumatized by the events that took place during Mars retrograde. It is possible that you have been shaken up, that you have had your confidence challenged, and that it may have gone a lot further than your confidence. Potentially shakeups involving your family, shakeups involving your household or housemates, a real struggle keeping your relationships in balance. And it's also possible that you had those challenges and each time rose to the occasion, that you made progress. Not everyone who experienced these things is shaken up by them, and not everyone who experiences them is emboldened by them. But in the end, it's, I think, to use astrology consciously, very helpful to be able to get the message. And that message can include the necessity to make changes, though I will say that with Mars first direct, then retrograde, then direct again, making aspects to all of these major transiting planets in your chart, this may have the feeling of enforced changes, as Patrick Walker would so politely call it. A do or die kind of a thing, sink or swim, balancing on that high wire. Walking across Niagara Falls is not just a luxury. It's not just part of the show. It's really about whether you make it across to the other side in one piece. And of course, you get to a certain point and there is no turning back. There's no point turning back, and it's harder to work backwards than it is to proceed forward. And so what this has really done is, in the end, I believe, had a stabilizing effect. Your relationships have been tested. You can now tell who you belong with and where you belong. You also have some concept of the strengths and weaknesses in those relationships, and you can more accurately work with them, which is always a good thing, to be able to have an accurate sense of your reality and to be able to know how to handle circumstances that you might even be able to predict to a certain extent, because you know who someone is. And also, there's been a kind of a stress test on the systems in your life, and you know what you are capable of enduring and, you know, how basically strong you are. And I assure you that you are stronger than you think based on those incidents, those experiences and the assessments that you've made, and that also you have gained resiliency as a result of these numerous things. Now, I mean, you know, just focusing my mind on this directly and imagining that, particularly for the sign Cancer, the focus has been the fourth house. The focus has been the taproot. The ground on which you are standing is somewhat mind-boggling, and I am very happy that you have had Jupiter in your sign all through this time to act as a battery, as a shock absorber, as a resource, and really, I think, has served the function of putting you in a position where you were not merely doing this for yourself alone. I think it's relatively easy to get caught in despair when it's only you who is in any way either in jeopardy or benefiting. And when you know that there are other people involved, when you know that the system you maintain also supports other systems. When the life you live is integral to the support of other lives, it can be easier to just take one step at a time and focus on necessities and to make sure that you don't let any fear or insecurity or anything like that get you down, that you make sure that you are the one who really is going to come through. And now the astrology is shifting to a place where you have the ability to focus inwardly a little bit more, which is a very necessary thing for anyone born under your sign. It is associated in so many ways with a sense of needing that space to retreat, needing inward awareness, needing some isolation from the world, needing really the ability to regenerate and recharge yourself. And that is what I see coming up. Let's talk a little bit about the way in particular, the Mars and Mars and Mercury, I'm also going to mention Venus retrogrades, have been developing. First of all, the Mars retrograde in Libra is now become Mars direct, and Mars direct is about to go into Scorpio. Scorpio is your fifth house by solar houses, by whole sign houses. If you are Cancer rising, it represents change of sign, represents a change of house by whole sign houses. For those of you who also read your chart using one of the more recent house systems like Placidus or Koch or whatever those, you know, modern history type of house systems, the whole sign houses work in parallel with the what we think of as normal houses, like Placidus houses. So it's not really a question of one or the other. There'll be times when you're reading, when reaching the, you know, the official house cusp at the middle of a sign can have a very clearly legible sense of meaning and belonging. Other times, the change of sign really gets your attention. You might think of them as being events that are separate, but related. And while I'm on the topic, not to get too technical on you, but you might think of the change of sign as being the official house change. For example, if you have Cancer in the ascendant, then Mars reaches your fifth house when it enters Scorpio. But when the planet touches the line that divides the house in the more modern sense of houses like Placidus or Koch houses, that represents a peak of energy. So, for example, your fifth house may, if you're Cancer rising, your fifth house may actually go through Libra. I believe mine does. I'm Cancer rising. And that fifth house cusp can be a peak of energy. And then there's another transition when Mars changes signs. And so this sign change for Mars from Libra to Scorpio, first of all, it is a happily more indulgent transit than fourth house Mars in Libra. We have Mars returning to its ruling sign, traditional astrology. Scorpio is ruled by Mars, and I think modern astrologers would be wise to understand Scorpio by understanding Mars as well as Pluto. And the fifth house is much more associated with pleasure than is the fourth house, which is more about security and family and history and understanding childhood and your emotional state, which obviously has been somewhat stressed out with Mars retrograde in Libra. And it's almost as if you can say, well, you've been through all that, and now there is a kind of a summertime coming, and that summertime is a very distinctly pleasure focused, art focused, sex focused experience where the theme of your life and the theme of your relationships can follow that. And that's nice because you've had Saturn in your fifth house for a long time. Saturn in the fifth is a little bit like having a lot of boundaries around these things and needing to really structure your creativity and creative time to perhaps limit them Saturn in the fifth house is not the best indicator to say there's going to be lots and lots of hot sex. It doesn't necessarily mean there's going to be none, but it can certainly seem to slow down the supply. For others, it represents the creation of a structured relationship where that may be happening in a way that is special or in a way that is unprecedented. This, by the way, this two-sided dimension of transits is one reason why it's important in these readings that I present both sides of the transits. And also, if you're working with someone or looking at your own chart, that you consider both ways the transit might manifest and report back, self-report, journal, or get information from your clients or tell your astrologer, if you're working with one, what your experience of that transit is. Now, either way, ultimately, the idea of Saturn going through Scorpio in the fifth house is designed ultimately as an enhancement, though that enhancement may at first work through a sense of or process of restriction and reduction, kind of like that I Ching card, reduction, right? It's a decrease, which is one of the most fortunate cards there is in the I Ching, because increase is not always good. It's not always easy to control, and it does not always lead to the things that lead to happiness. Whereas by some odd logic that seems to work out, perhaps with a bit of, disciplined growth and asceticism mixed in, just to, just so everyone's reminded how spiritual we all are, Saturn in the fifth house can work as a reducing element that ultimately has the effect of increasing the quality level and making you more discriminating and more discerning about what you want, which can then focus you on what you want, which can then help you get what you want. And there's the added benefit of the prevention of complications arising from things that you don't want, things that don't help you, things that are not designed to bring you happiness. And by restricting those things, you can save yourself a lot of time and energy. Have you experienced this where it's like you realize you might have gotten into that relationship, you might have had sex with that person, and that might have led to a relationship, and then you figure out that they're kind of whacked and you're so glad that you didn't get involved? That's what I mean by this. And so you can count on the fact that there were many experiences that you did not get involved with that would not have worked out well had you gotten involved with them. And therefore, you can thank Saturn for having protected you from something that you didn't want that would have consumed a huge amount of your time and energy, which, by the way, is time and energy that you really did need to spend taking care of yourself and taking care of your life and making your life right. And as Mars continues its transit out of late Libra and into early Scorpio, I would suggest continuing the process of methodically improving your home in a creative way. Make sure that your home is as you need it, as you want it. And I think that one of the messages of Mars retrograde has been to help you gouge out the corners and make sure that there is a really clear attention to detail and to balance in your home. And you still have a few weeks left. I'm assuming you're going to be listening to this starting sometime the first week of July. There's still a few weeks left of Mars in Libra to, focus on that process. Because by the time Mars gets into Scorpio at the end of the month, you're going to have a lot more exciting and intriguing things on your mind. Speaking of, let's talk about the Mercury retrograde that is about to end. This is something that influences the solar return charts of all people born under the sign Cancer and all of those born under Cancer rising. We are experiencing a Mercury retrograde that, as all of the Mercury retrogrades of 2014 do, began in a water sign and ended in an air sign. So for you, that means that Mercury stationed retrograde early in the sign Cancer. There was that double trine to Nessus in Pisces. We'll come back to that in a second, actually, because it's very much germane to what I'm about to mention. And then it retrograded into Gemini. Gemini is the house or sign before yours. That means it's the 12th place, as it used to be called by the ancient astrologers. Also, you know, 12th house, 12th whole sign house, all basically the same concept. And by the way, when you're thinking about these houses and learning about them, the technical rules of where and when a house starts are not nearly as meaningful as the idea behind what that house is. Because once you have the idea what that house is, you will see where the boundary is. Then the cusps and the lines and all the little transits will suddenly make much more sense because you know of which you are thinking and speaking. 12th house, the one right before yours, the one right before any, the sign before anyone's sign, is the strangest, most mysterious place in the whole chart by most people's experience. And it is, you might even think of it as being the house of the unmanifest. That is about, gestation of experiences. And also, when we're thinking about the natal chart, the experience of gestation is described by the 12th house. And as an adult, the experience of everything that is behind the scrim of consciousness is in the 12th house. I forget who it was that sent me the metaphor of the 12th house being a scrim. Anyone who's got some experience in theater being a fantastic reservoir of metaphors for astrology, is familiar with this thing that can be dropped down from the rigging, which is a screen. And the screen is made of some kind of a mesh. And the mesh has this property of looking like it is solid black when there is light on our side of the mesh from the audience. But when the scrim is illuminated from behind, you can see what is going on behind it. So it's possible, for example, to set up a scrim, and if the stagehands are very quiet, they can do a complete scene change behind the scrim, raise the scrim, turn the lights back on. There's a whole new set behind what was this mesh thing that was dropped down. So if you think of the 12th house as being a scrim that's pretty much always in place, but what changes is the lighting on either side of the scrim, right? It can be brighter or darker on one side. When it's brighter on the side closest to the audience, you can't see what's back there. But when those lights are dimmed and when it's illuminated behind the scrim, you can see what's back there. And when a planet such as Mercury, which you can think of as being the planet of the light of the mind of the senses, the consciousness of creatures, as the Bhagavad Gita says, Mercury starts in your first house, Cancer, then it retrogrades back into the 12th, well, you get to find out all kinds of stuff that was in the unmanifest. You get to, in a sense, tap into all the things, or some of the things that you were keeping secret from yourself. Awfully interesting, right? I mean, really helpful to have this ability to go behind the veil and see and feel what is back there and be able to access that. And so as part of this chart signature of Mercury stationing direct in your 12th house, you are able to, let's just say, fill your mind, energize, charge up your mind with all of this information that previously you did not have access to. You were just simply not able to get that because it's not that easy to get. I mean, you know, you need to either be very good at your dream journal or very good at, taking ayahuasca or very good at being a shamanic visionary, having one foot on either side of the veil, or you get to have a Mercury transit. And the Mercury transit dips back into the unmanifest realm or partially manifest realm, and something is seen and felt and experienced, and then Mercury stations direct, which it's about to do in less than 24 hours from the time that I'm reading, and you are able to pick that up and carry it forward out of the unmanifest. It's going to take a little while to do that because Mercury will not yet get back into Cancer by, let's just take a quick look here while I'm mentioning this. Positions. Mercury. July 13th. So a lot changes in mid-July. Now, as for the connection to Nessus in early Pisces, and I'll conclude part one with this. Nessus in general, all of the centaurs, but especially Nessus, and especially in Pisces, has the sensation of something that is partially concealed behind the veil. So it's got a 12th house flavor. Nessus all by itself. Centaurs are very 12th house. They're like these mythic dream figures that you don't ever really see except in some mythic dream experience like astrology. And before Mercury retrograded into the 12th house, you had this experience of observing things that were not easily observed, but you were able to observe them. I'm not in your consciousness, but check what these were. I wrote a lot about it at the time, so if you're a Planet Waves member, scroll back in the blog and also scroll back through the subscriber issues. I did a whole issue, which I'll actually include, about the triple trine. And it was as if you had outer confirmation of some inner experience and then inner confirmation of the outer experience when Mercury stationed retrograde and went back into Gemini. So one thing I see going on here is a lot of interplay between the veiled overworld, the concealed world behind the scrim, and the world in front of the scrim. And to be a whole person, to be someone who is able to use the full strength of your whole consciousness, it really helps to be able to work with both sides of what is on the scrim. To not have part of your mind, any part of your mind whatsoever, that is off limits. And so the combined effect of these transits, basically in total, is to help you recognize that there need be no part of your mind to which you do not have access, no part of your consciousness that is taboo. And one of the things about the 12th is that it contains all of your sexual secrets, or a great many of your sexual secrets, especially the kind that you don't necessarily share with others. Things like experiences that you have not shared, secret fantasies, secret desires, the things that happen in dreams that you cannot explain. And now you have the ability to acknowledge and know what they are. And if some of those secret experiences involve things that have injured you, that have in some way hurt you, that you have felt a need, whether valid or not, to keep secret from yourself and from others, it now may be evident why it would be so helpful to open up and share them, to be able to not be a prisoner. And often what happens when we take secrets and stuff them into a little box as if to keep them prisoner, what we're really doing is putting our own soul into prison and concealing that. And I think that the message of many of these transits, when we look at them in total, is to set all of those secrets free, particularly from yourself. You have no reason to keep any secrets from yourself. There really should be no taboos within your own mind. Though, of course, many people who practice lives dedicated to denial do just that all the time. And I would say that, in the unlikely chance you are such a person, that not being so controlled by the need to deny anything will be helpful, but in particular, not being motivated to be someone who keeps any secrets at all from yourself and as few as possible from others will be a great relief. And as you notice your excuses for keeping things secret from others, you might want to consider whether they are just that and subject them to real question. Because I think that at this stage, the more open you are with yourself and the more open you are with others, the healthier you will feel and the less subject to these things called demons that you will feel, and the more I think that you'll just be able to express who you are. And in the second half of this program, we'll talk about that, because that is what is about to happen, is this opening in terms of expression, actual expression, and not being so much stuck in the concept of anything, but allowing yourself to experience the actual reality of it. Okay, so that is part one. I'm going to take a little break. I'm going to step out and go down to the outdated cafe, get a little bit of fresh air and sunshine and decaf Americano, and come back and tell you about the rest of your astrology. All right, this has been great fun, especially as the Cancer rising. I'm actually getting a chance to read my own chart as well. Okay, bye for now.